In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. What those couple are doing? They are conversing, they are talking, they are communicating. Can everybody hear me? We have plenty of seats up front. If I ask question and you will answer, I will give you extra nuts. So you will not be punished. So. Okay, we have really, is that the same group that will be here, God willing, tomorrow? Same group, okay. We have plenty of things to talk about, but I want you to pay attention because every now and then I will start to ask questions, so if you are not really paying attention, you will not be able to answer. So be with me, all right? Communication. A philosopher said, communicate with me so I am able to see you or even realize that you exist. There are people who live in the same house, under the same roof, and they don't speak much. Maybe both of them are working and there are children taking care of them, they speak to the kids, but really between the couples there is not much communication. Or even between them and the teenagers, not much communication. So, you know, they are living under the same roof, but really there is no relationship between them. And it gets much worse if there is no communication between you and your husband or you and your wife. And then the kids grow up, they go to college. Eventually, you know, they have their own lives. And you discover that you are strangers living under the same roof. So communication is very, very vital. So for example, and it gets even tougher and tougher with all the... Thank you so much. You know, pay attention to this. You know, he's working on his laptop, electronics nowadays, working or watching stuff, whatever. And then the wife is telling him, I need for you to get me some things from the grocery store. And she's telling him, I need margarine, I need milk, I need bread. And he answered her and say, no worries, leave it with me. And then she tells him, amen, so what did I ask you? So here is the reply, well, it was something like blah, 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 mango, cheese, whatever. He never heard what she wants. Is that communication? You know, we can be living under the same roof, we can be talking, but not really paying attention, not listening. So when we talk, we expect the other person to, you know, communicate with us and there is some feedback. How about that for a listener? Sometimes our pets can listen to us more than people. I have a parrot that now learns so many things. He can tell me good morning. He can tell me, Alleluia, praise the Lord. You know, he can speak to me, and I reply. So if this can happen with birds, of course, we can do it, and better. Our Lord Jesus Christ, one of his titles is the Logos. And the Logos is the Word. So our Father communicates with us through his Son, the Logos, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the first and foremost communicator. And we can learn from him so much about communication. Just remember what he did with the Samaritan woman. You know, he went to her as well, as you know. And you know, this is supposed to be one of the gospel during the Holy Lent, but this year, instead of that Samaritan woman Sunday, it will be the cross Sunday, so it will not be read in the Holy Land. But we can learn so much from Christ, how he communicated, you know, when he was among us on earth. Communication, we do it all the time. When we pray, we communicate with the Lord. When we read the Bible, we communicate with the Lord. When we have quiet time, we communicate with the Lord as well. When we are praising the Lord, tasbihah, the liturgy is communication with the Lord. And some people say, you know, it's just too long liturgy. It takes 3 hours on Sunday. And, you know, we see it in all the churches. I hope it's not in your church. People come just very late, just for the communion. You don't want to spend a little bit time with the Lord to communicate with him. This is communication. Prayer and praising and worship is communication. When we serve the Lord, this is also communication. So Christianity is a conversation, ongoing conversation of love between our Lord and man, our Lord and the church, and between the man and the church, and between the man and man, or man and woman. Marriage in Christ is communication. Just remember, when you met your wife or you met your husband to begin with, how do you get to know each other? It's by communicating, by talking. So talking cannot just stop after the wedding. It needs to continue, you know, forever. And the holy marriage, of course, is a holy relationship of love between the man and the woman. And Christ had to be centered in this relationship. And we'll get to that in another slide. Communication, some people are better communicators than others. And we learn to communicate from early childhood. But, you know, it's never too late to learn. You know, that's what life is about. We continue to learn as long as we are alive. So, don't say, well, you know, we never talk much, you know, when I was brought up. It's fine, but we can learn now how to communicate. And there are so many, many ways of communication. Not only talking, but there are so many other ways that we'll talk about tonight, God willing. So communication between the man and the husband is really, we need to include the Lord in the middle. So when you talk to your wife, when she talks to you, just visualize that Christ right is in the middle. And by doing so, so many things can be avoided. I mean, if we can imagine that the Lord is inside the house between us, no bad word will come out of our mouth. And not just bad words, but even, you know, any kind of anger or resentment will not come up because the Lord is right in the center. So we need just to visualize that Christ is right there in our relationship, in the middle of our relationship. And people who are more visual, you can just visualize here that here's the wife, the husband, and Jesus Christ is right there in the middle. And this is how the Christian family is supposed to be. So, how can you improve your communications? That's what we'll be talking about today and tomorrow, God willing. But few things you can start doing together if you are not doing it already is to pray together. Pray together. You know, the Lord is right in the middle when you pray. And this is communication between you and the Lord and also with your spouse. Reading the Bible, studying together the Bible. You can have your own reading. You can have your own prayer. But also the family prayer and prayer together and studying the Bible together is very, very helpful for the relationship. I'm sure when you go to the liturgy and take communion, you are together. When you come in meetings like this, when you serve, any kind of service, it doesn't have to be only Sunday school. There are so many, many services in the church. If you want to serve even somewhere else, you can go. I'm sure here there is, like in all towns, there is, what we call soup for the kitchen, soup for the homeless and so on. There are so many things you can do and volunteer together, serving the Lord together. So, I will go through this quickly. It's 15 points about how to have successful communication, and then we'll go to more details. Try to be a good listener. Listen. Listen. When you go to talk to someone, and this person is just not paying any attention, you don't want to continue talking, would you? So try to be a good listener. So in order to be a good listener, you have to quit talking so you can listen. You know, when both of you talk at the same time, nobody is listening. And we are not perfect, so we need to admit that we have our mistakes. And we need to learn to say sorry so often. We need to respect the other person's opinion, even if it is not our opinion, but respect their opinion. Listen to it. And start the communication by a smile and a gentle touch. This will really help matters quite a bit. And be frank. Or another word for it, be transparent. Don't hide from your spouse anything. And, when somebody calls you on the phone, you do it even automatically, you smile. So try to start your conversation with your spouse by the smile. And a gentle touch will help as well. And also, devote enough time to talk. You know, we are pressed by time in this Asian time. You know, some people work two jobs. So there is not enough time, but it's very, very important to really consecrate some good time in order to talk together. Do not interrupt. Listen till the other person finish what they started. And be tolerant to the other person's opinion, even if it is different from yours. Just listen. Be ready to accept the criticism. And we'll get to that also tomorrow, God willing. And please do not be sarcastic, you know, and put the person down. This is terrible in our relationship together. Don't be sarcastic. And be willing to understand the other person's feelings and opinions, feelings as well. So those two people went to a therapist or a counselor, and she is telling the therapist, he cannot take criticism, and I cannot get enough of it. It's not fair, is it? You know, he keeps criticizing her all the time, and when she says anything, he doesn't want to hear it. That's not fair. Be sympathetic and empathic. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy, you know, maybe using an example will help to understand the difference. There is a big difference between the two. Like, for example, you found a girl down a ditch and she fell. So you sit on the bank of the ditch and you start crying and being upset with her. This is sympathy. That's sympathy. The one with empathy, you will just go and bring that girl out from the ditch and don't judge her. That's empathy. That's empathy. Do something, you know, to help the other person. So we need to have this in the relationship also, not just keep judging all the time, but we need to have some empathy as well. And if there is a conversation and you know, you have different opinions, try to end the conversation by a note of acceptance. And don't go to bed upset with your spouse. Try to finish it up. So if you have a disagreement, what would you do about it? Any ideas? Let me hear from you. You know, you disagree with your spouse on something. And both of you are right in front of the Lord. It's not really against the Lord, but just different opinion. So what would you do? Try to find a solution in the middle? And both of you agree on it? Great. Maybe agree with the other person, with your spouse? That's great. And if you cannot agree whatsoever, what would you do? That's good. That's good. And sometimes it takes time. Yeah? Most of our issues don't have to be resolved right now. So agree on, okay, we'll not talk about it anymore. We'll talk about maybe in a week. And as he mentioned, we'll pray about it, both of us. In the meantime, you know, the mind, how it does work, that when you go to bed and you get your good night's sleep, your unconscious mind is already thinking about this issue. So when a week passes by, you may have a complete different view. And then you will find that both of you agree on something and you are happy with it. So when you get to a disagreement, just put it in park and revisit it after a week, after 10 days, as long as it's not an urgent matter. And most of the issues are not that urgent. We need to have time for conversing together every day. Every day. You have to have this contact, you know? 20 minutes, half hour, just every day together. Talk about your day. You know, if you have children, talk about, you know, about the children. Talk about what happened to you today. You know, just have a conversation together every day. And ideally, every week, you need to spend together, going out maybe, finding, you know, there are, God bless Houston here, there are so many families, maybe you can interchange your kids. You know, maybe this Sunday, this weekend, or Saturday, a family will take care of your kids for a few hours. Next Saturday, you will pay them back, and so on. And just take your spouse and go for a few hours. You know, go for a nice lunch, go for a nice dinner, go hiking. Do something, just the two of you. This will maintain the relationship alive. It takes some planning, but it's worth it. So here they are sitting on having a nice talk, and then those two people just met, or dating, or whatever, engaged. So he is telling her, he is thinking in his mind, I cannot think of anything interesting to talk about. I am so boring, he's telling himself. She must hate me. And she is thinking in her mind, a man who actually listened to me, I think I'm in love. So when you have someone that listens to you, you know, is highly, highly appreciated. And especially women would love to have a man who listens to them. Just listen. Okay, so we talked about things that will help the communication. What about the breakers? What break communications? We just focus on five issues. That we take each other for granted. It's like, you know, she ought to do this, he ought to do that. We take every, you know, each other for granted. And we don't say, I love you much. Oh, he knows I love him. Or he knows, or she knows and we don't say it. And also we don't say it to our kids. You know what's the most important thing for the child, especially as a young kid, is to know for sure that his parents love him. That's all what he cares about, or she cares about. Say, oh, of course I love them. I feed them, I buy them nice stuff, clothes, and nice gifts. Yes, but do you ever say, I love you? If you do, say it more. If you don't, start. The most important thing for really the child that's so important to the child is that his parents love him more than anything. And they will do anything. And of course, I know you will do anything for your child, but you don't express it. And that's why, you know, there is this book about love language of the children even. How you can relate your love in a way they can understand that they are lovable and they are loved. And then you say, well, I don't have much time to spend with my spouse. Remember nowadays, you know, I was flying one time and there was a nice lady sitting next to me. You know, nowadays, you know, when you fly, there is not even one seat empty. So anyway, and all her fries, she was going on her Facebook, and her Facebook never ends. And you know, the flight, I don't remember, it was like a couple of hours. That's where the time goes, you know? So yes, you work hard, but also you spend so much time maybe on the computer, on the TV, and it is wasted time. It is wasted time. More important is to spend time, quality time together, quality time. Or so much social commitments. You go and visit and you dine here, you dine there, and you are, you know, invited here and there, and that's fine. But don't let this take away the time that you need to spend with your spouse. Your priority is your spouse. That's your priority. Some marriages, all what the husband, more so the husband than the wife, all what they care about is just the physical relationship. If the marriage is only based about the physical relationship, then, you know, there is danger down the road. Yes, it is important. I'm not denying it. But it's not the only thing that your spouse needs from you. There is more than just physical relationship. I have a couple one time, she was complaining to me. She told me, you know, my husband is a good man, and I know that. But I am so frustrated that he calls his sister, who is, you know, outside the U.S. in another country. He calls her maybe 2-3 times a week and spend like an hour, and then we have no time to talk together. And she said, I feel bad that I feel this way, but I cannot help it. And she's right. She is right. So pay attention that even the time you spend with your family, don't let that time to intrude on the time that you need to spend with your wife and to talk together. Don't get to the point to say, well, you know, my spouse will never listen to me. I can talk forever, but he will never pay attention to me, or she will never pay attention. We never give up. There are now more than one way of communication. You can send a text message, you can leave a sticky note, and we'll talk more about that, you know, as we proceed. But there are so many ways of communication. So don't give up that your spouse will never listen to you. Here he is at work, and he's talking to on the phone, and he is telling his secretary, you forgot to respond to the email I meant to send. That's not much communication here. Communication is not only verbal. Pay attention to this slide. This is very, very important. as you see, 7% only communication is by words. Only 7%, 7%. Nonverbal 55, which is facial expression, body language, and 38% the tone of your voice, the tone of your voice. So if your tone is angry, is upset, is disappointed, sarcastic, all of that. So only the words, 7%. Your facial expression, your body language, all of that counts, and the tone of your voice. So we need to pay attention to not only our words. So here they took their child to a psychiatrist to be examined, and then his report, he was telling the parents, I wouldn't worry about his communication skills. Grunting is quite normal at his age. Yes. Kids grunt. You know, grunt? They don't really speak, but they just, you know, make a noise. As adults, we cannot do that. So if your spouse is talking to you, you have to answer her or answer him in words, not grunting, not just making noises. You have to communicate. You have to say something. All right, we get to active listening. How we can become active listener. So there are few things about, you know, few steps to be a good listener. Of course, this man, as you can see, he is not listening at all. He is taking his nap because of the saleswoman. He's just trying to sell whatever. So your body language say you have lost interest. And nowadays, you know, with the cell phone and iPad and all those kind of electronic stuff, we don't really listen. We don't really listen. You know, I hear that some families, all what they do in the evening, everybody has their own electronic thing. And that's how they spend time together, sitting. Everybody is busy with their electronic, even the kids. That's too sad. That's too sad. And really takes away, really, the family time, and communicating with each other. So, active listening means removing all distraction, listening to speaker signs and sounds, feeding back that you have understood. Just, you know, this is just kind of summary, but we'll get to more detail how to become an active listener. So those are the steps. First thing, you stop talking and you listen. As we mentioned earlier, two people talking at the same time, nobody is listening. So if she is talking, you need to just to be quiet and listen, and vice versa. And then you restate your spouse's exact words. So you are telling me such and such in her wordings or his wording. So you really listen, you pay attention. And then after that, you paraphrase. Paraphrase. You will say, okay, so you meant to tell me such and such in your own wordings, not repeating her words. So the second step is to repeat what she said in her words. I'm just using the example that the wife is the one talking. And then after that, you tell her, okay, so I understand you are telling me such and such in your own wordings. And then after that, you tell her, okay, well, you know, it seems I can feel that you are really upset or you are happy. So put some feelings that you really understand what she is feeling. And of course you will understand how she feels after you had been married for some time. And then after that you can say, well, you know, I feel the same like you do. I'm upset as well as you are. So you justify her feeling. unless if her feeling is not justified, you can explain why not. So that's active listening. It takes most important things that you listen, pay attention, and then how you communicate that you listen to her by repeating what she said, and then paraphrasing, and then include how she feels, and then if you agree with her feeling and you feel the same, upset or so. How is that for a good listener? Can we have those wonderful ears for a good listener? Our Lord Jesus Christ was a wonderful listener. And we read in the Gospel according to St. Luke, "Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teacher, both listening to them and asking them questions." He's a wonderful listener, and that's why he listened to our prayers. We need to remember, absence of communication between you and your partner, there will be absence of love. And which in turn, eventually it will lead to absence of the whole relationship. So communication is so vital in a relationship. And as we mentioned earlier, communication is not only verbal by words, but also you communicate through the language of eyes. You know, so many couples now, they can understand each other by just looking in their face and see their eyes as a way of communication. So body language, as I mentioned, we mentioned earlier, communication is 55% body language. 55%, 38% your tone of voice, and only 7% your words. There are so many ways of communication: simple touch, holding hands, giving a hug. All of those are communications. Of course, we'll get to more in detail, little gifts, flowers, greeting cards. All of that is a way of communicating. And we mentioned we don't say enough, "I love you." As a matter of fact, we don't say it much to the Lord. We don't say much the word "I love you." And as we don't say it much, we are not really grateful and we are not thankful. So if we don't, you know, appreciate the Lord and tell him, "Lord, I love you," meaning that there is some feelings inside of you that feel otherwise. And we need to do the same with our spouse. I found this wonderful saying, see those two bears, how they are hugging each other. And the wording is, "Life is too short, hug a little longer, love a little stronger, forgive a little sooner, and smile a little sweeter." Can we start doing that little by little? So, hug a little longer, love a little stronger, forgive a little sooner, and smile a little sweeter. Okay. As you see, this means that it's an important slide. It doesn't matter sometimes what you say, although, you know, of course, has an effect for sure. But the person remember how you made them feel. If you made them feel so bad, that's the feeling that will last with them. And it can be by words, it can be by looks, it can be by body reaction. You know, it can be so many ways. And they will remember how you made them feel. So if you made them feel well and good, this will last. And it will add to their love tank for you. If you made them feel bad, it will take away from that love tank. All right, so now it's time to spend a little bit of time on sweet communication. King Solomon said in Proverbs, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healthy to the bones. You know, bones are so difficult to treat. You heard about osteoporosis, hishash al-azam. This is one of the very difficult things to treat. But King Solomon here says that even sweet, pleasant words or sweet words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healthy to the bones. So we need to remember this. So sweet communication. How do you like this when we get to Easter? Or people who love those you can find it also in fast nowadays, you know, everything in meat from almond milk will be fine. All right. So, sweet communications. Most wives complain that their husbands stop saying sweet words to them when they get married. He used to say so much sweet stuff when they were engaged. Till they get married, and then slowly but surely, you know, those sweet words start to decrease or even stop, unfortunately. And some husbands say, well, you know, I never learned to say sweet words. Well, you can still learn, you know. We never stop learning in this life. Sweet words are so important for any love relationship. You know, we had a priest meeting, and one of the priests told me, I don't know what to do here. You know, I have this family, and, you know, they are well-educated. You know, he has a good position, and she started also working too. But this man is just not stable enough that he hurt his wife, not only verbally, but also physically. And she is getting tired of it. And the job where she got, an American man who is a very nice man, is so sweet to her, and she starts getting entangled in that relationship. Sweet words. Sweet words. It's mentioned in the Bible that good words or praying is considered by our Lord more important than sacrifice or gifts. We read in St. Paul to the Hebrews, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of praise to God. So whenever we praise the Lord, it's considered to him to be a sacrifice. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name and is considered by the Lord even more precious than a burnt offering. So what do we mean by sweet words? That's the part I want you to pay very much attention to, because I will be questioning you and quizzing you after a little bit. So please pay attention. So I will give you 9 things how to be sweet to your spouse. And this applies to the man and please also to the woman. And maybe some women already do that, and I'm sure some men as well. But you can improve. So first one is words of gratitude and appreciation. Words of gratitude and appreciation. How often do we thank our spouse? How often, when was the last time you told him, thank you for taking the garbage out? Or how often did you thank her that she, you know, cooked for you a nice meal? Or she cleaned the bathroom? Or you clean the bathroom too. Why not? Gary Chapman, who is the author of The Five Love Language, he has a very, very small book, very nice book about things I wish I had known before I got married. And one of the things he mentioned was, after I got married, I found that the commode is getting dirty and dirty and dirty. A month passed away and he's waiting for his wife to clean. She never did. So this, another month went by, and then he told her, you know, honey, the commode is getting very dirty. She told him, yeah, I noticed, but I was waiting for you to clean it. He told her, honey, I never cleaned a bathroom before. She told him, oh, I will teach you. And she taught him how to clean the commode. And then after that, he got expert in cleaning the commode. As a matter of fact, before he became, you know, an assistant pastor, he had a job of cleaning the bathroom in the church, and they were paying him. And he got so good in it. We can learn anything. We can learn anything, you know? Huh? So when was the last time you thank each other for something? We tend to take things for granted. When was the last time you thank your husband or thank you, you know, for bringing that check? Or vice versa. I know nowadays, you know, couples work, both of them. But when was the last time thank your husband that he took the car and changed the oil for you? Or he mowed the grass? Or, you know, all these kind of things, we tend to take it for granted. It's like, okay, this is his job or this is her job. No, we need to appreciate. We need to appreciate. We do it all the time at work, do we? You know, when your secretary or your helper at work does something for you, you know, we thank her. I was in the plane and she brought me a cup of orange juice. I thank her. We do it all the time. Why not at home with the most precious person in your life, who is your spouse? So people remember picture more than words. So I got you some pictures here just to remember. Thank you so much. All right. So, word of praise, word of thanks. Second one, words of encouragement and praise. Encouraging each other. The world is tough out there. So don't make it tougher at home either. You know? Or more so. And both of us need encouragement. Don't say, oh, he is a man. He doesn't need my encouragement. He sure does. And the woman does too. Any human being needs to be encouraged all along. Even the priest needs to be encouraged. Everyone has a need for encouragement. And we read in St. Paul, in his letter, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. That's the beauty of Christianity, is kindness, to be so kind. Words of encouragement and praise are the fuel that keeps the marriage vehicle going and going nonstop. We need to encourage each other. As I said, it is a tough world out there. Don't make it tough at home. Encourage each other. Be an encourager. The world has plenty of critics already. So don't add to it inside your home. When was the last time you did something like this? You point to your wife and tell her, you are so awesome. Or you point to your husband and tell him, you are so wonderful. I don't want anybody else next to you. You are so awesome. When was the last time you did this? I don't see any hand. My goodness. Okay, I will check tomorrow and see if you start practicing tonight some of this. How about that for a deal? We agree? All right. Good. So the first thing was what? Okay, second? All right, we need to pay attention. I told you I will ask later. And do we have any gifts here or something? If it was non-fast, I will bring you chocolate. So the first one was word of gratitude and appreciation. And the second one was encouragement and praise. Gratitude, appreciation, encouragement, and praise. And the third one, words of love. As I mentioned earlier, oh, he knows, she knows I love him. He knows I love him. She knows I love. No, you have to express it. You have to say it. It's so important for your kids even to hear it from you. Not just to tell your kids, but to tell each other. And they can see, oh yeah, my parents, you know, love each other. One of the scary things, you know, one time I was driving to Austin, and then I got this phone call from one of the servants, wonderful servant. And she was in a panic. She told me, Abuna, can you come to us right now? I told her, I'm so sorry, I'm going out of town. Anyway, we spent an hour on the phone while I'm driving. And they were really in crisis, she and her husband. And loud voice, and they have a kid maybe 6 years old, seven, and a girl who is maybe in middle school. And after I listened for a while, I told them, are the kids around? Yeah, they are upstairs. But you know, their voice can go to the next door neighbor. And they are good people, very good people. This cannot happen. This can't happen, you know, in a Christian home. He was accusing her, and she was crying. She was very upset. And they came to the point that she said, I just cannot live with him anymore. So just, you are so upset, just, you know, no big decisions right now. And, you know, thank God things got much better eventually. But we need to be very, very careful about this, you know. The mouth that praise the Lord and say thank you and say I love you cannot also say sarcastic stuff. It can't. As St. James said. So you say, okay, I never learned how to say I love you. Well, listen, if you have a good job that you have to get up in the morning at 5 a.m. and you are a late sleeper, would you learn how to get up and go to your work? Of course you will learn. So we learn. Don't take this as a crutch and say, you know, I just never learned when I was younger. It's very easy. It's only three words, I love you. That's very easy. And you can ask this much. Anybody said this to their spouse? Thank you, God, for the gift of my husband or my wife. And we'll get to that in more detail about, you know, prayer, words of prayer to each other. We need to remember, my beloved, that God is love. How is that for a nice message on a sticker or a sticky note? You are my half, my sweet Valentine, I really do love you. Do we do that much beside Valentine's Day? Do we do it ongoingly? Listen to what St. John mentioned in his first letter, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God. So, fourth one is words of prayer. What does it mean? It's like you do it with your children. Maybe your child has an exam, and in the morning, you know, I pray for you as God will be with you, give you peace, give you wisdom, give you success. Don't worry, God is with you. You tell your child a prayer. Do you do that with your spouse? Do you tell your spouse a prayer? How would you do that? Here is a very nice prayer that you can learn. My wishes for you today, may God bless you and keep you. May he keep you safe from harm. May he have mercy on you and your family. May the Lord always be on your side. May he protect you and uphold your undertaking. May the Lord bless you always. Say, oh yeah, I pray for her or I pray for him. Yes, but you can pray it loudly by telling that person, your spouse, those wonderful prayer, words of prayer. So that's another way of communicating. You know, if your husband leaves earlier than you do in the morning, you can tell him this prayer, or vice versa. Or, you know, if she comes later than you, you can tell her, I thank the Lord that you are back here. I miss you all day. Why not? Why not? You will just make her day. So words of prayer, they keep the relationship between you, your spouse, and the Lord alive, and it continues to grow. It continues to grow. So, exam time, quiz. First one, gratitude. Second one, words of praise. What would you say here? You are awesome. Come on, folks. You are awesome. You are wonderful. I never met somebody in my life like you, and I will never meet anybody after you. You know? So, okay, after that, words of love. I love you. And the last one we just finished will be words of prayer. You have cell phones. Why you don't take notes? You can take notes on your cell phone. You know, there is a memo thing that you can add on it. All right. I'm sure you register in your mind, which is fine. Okay, we'll... Five minutes. Words of apology. I am really sorry. Do we say it much to each other? I'm really sorry. Nobody is perfect. Nobody. Nobody is perfect. Not even the monks that live in the desert. No one is perfect. And we are not. And you are not. So it's okay, you know, when you make a mistake, I'm sorry, honey. Apologize. Apology will get the person to sense that you really are humble. There is humility in you. And regret. So, how about those notes? Didn't mean to hurt your feelings, sweetheart. Please forgive me. I love you. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I hurt you, but I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. Do you ever get to that point where you see this kid here crying? I'm so sorry. It's all right to admit. You know, when we make a mistake, admit. Don't try to cover it up or sugar it up or make it sweeter than it is. Just admit, I made a mistake. Forgive me. And then words of gentle reproaching. I'll give you an example. You came home one night, you had a long day at work, it was a tough day, and you are so tired, and your wife is so excited, and tell you, honey, look, I bought this dress for $1,000. Don't you love it on me? And on top of that, you're having a hard time to even pay the mortgage that month. And she knows. So how would you handle this? Yeah. How you can handle it? You can handle it. First, tell her, okay, I will just go and change my clothes and get comfortable. Take your time to cool off, because you will be very angry and very upset. Don't act out when you are upset, because you may say things that you may not regret, or you will have very hard time to regret that will hurt the other person. So cool off first. And tell the Lord, Lord, tell me what would I say here? How to react? And then go to your wife and tell her, you know, honey, I am so sorry. See? Who is supposed to be sorry? She is supposed to be sorry. I am so sorry I didn't tell you that we have hard time meeting our ends this time. You know, I was trying to find, you know, what else I can do even to pay the mortgage. And God bless you, you know, you may have, you know, more than your needs. But I'm just giving you an example. But I didn't explain to you that we are a little bit tight, so this is my fault. I didn't warn you beforehand. But, you know, we are really tight this month. You know, her reaction will be, oh, I'm so sorry. I will just take it and return it tomorrow. And then you will discuss it and agree on something. That's what we call simple, you know, gentle reproaching. If you will deal with her like you deal with your next door neighbor or kid, and you point the finger at her, this is no, this is not, it will not get you anywhere. It will make things worse. So gentle reproaching, you start first by apologizing, find a reason to apologize. Quiet down before you start saying anything first. Just calm down. And then talk to your spouse and explain. And vice versa, it can be also, you know, your husband who did something that you didn't like. And, you know, and talk about it. Gentle reproaching. Not harsh. If you will just tell your spouse, okay, or your wife, what did you do here, you know, how come, and, you know, we don't have the money, and so on, and she will get angry more at you because you are so angry, and you are pointing to her that she is just doing a bad job, a bad decision. There is no much wisdom in it. So, but when you are really calmed down and you are using a very nice way to approach it, herself will apologize and tell you, okay, I'm sorry, let's just see what we can do about this, and vice versa. So that's what we call simple, gentle reproaching. So gentle reproaching starts with an apology and finding excuse for the things that happened wrong. And then very politely and quietly and with a lot of tact and with a nice smile on your face, you can discuss it. And usually it will end with a good ending.
There's one thing I want to mention about communicating these words, is that this is going to be a change in the relationship. Yani, when I begin to do this, the person on the receiving end needs to take it sincerely. Yani, just because it's out of character, yani, since when does he tell me I'm sorry? Since when does he appreciate me? Let's, like Abuna said, let's leave out the sarcasm, because once you meet the attempt to try to improve the communication with sarcasm, the person will shut down and we're going to back to ground zero. If we're going to take this seriously and begin to make the changes in the way we communicate, we need to understand that this is maybe uncomfortable or something that's new to the person doing it, and encourage them. Even don't question their sincerity. Oh, you're just saying that because Abuna said this today. No, if we do this, then the person is mushayim kamel. He's not going to do anything. Take a kiddah that it's coming from a sincere heart, and that the attempt to change deserves yani the recognition, deserves yani a kind response. So I think this is very important.
Very good. Yes, and also both of you do it too. Don't just wait that your wife will start to do this and you are not doing anything. No, you are learning as well. Yeah. So we need to practice. But as Abuna said, which is a very important point, take it seriously. Take it seriously. And you will find that really the relationship and the communication will improve quite a bit. Quite a bit.